servant of God.
Hallelujah. This morning I've got a title, Servant of God. I love it. Amen. We thank God for another opportunity to share with you. Each time I stand here, I deem it as a blessing, actually, because it keeps me on my toes. And you are blessed to be in Raglan Road, too. This morning, I continue on where others have left off. And so as we've already prayed, but I keep praying that God will give you understanding. God will enlighten your heart. Because the key is enlightenment, being enlightened to grasp what God is telling you in this season. So I'll continue on our Bible series, and I've been given the title Spirit and Community. I call it the Spirit and the Community. And as you know, if you are following, Gareth started off with an introduction of what the Bible is and its influence in our world. The second week, Amy continued on origins, the whys, the hows of creation, origins and meaning. And Derek brought us God's rescue plan from the book of Exodus. Garrett continued again on exile and peace. And I remember at the time our mom Molly gave us a prophecy. The prophetess spoke to us about God not leaving you, God not forsaking you. She mentioned that three times. I will never leave you, never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. And you could tell she was speaking from the heart of God. I don't know if you ever feel God has forsaken you. He has not. Reorient your mind to the fact that he is with you. Last week, my dear wife spoke about the Messiah and love. And as I listened to her, I'm like, whoa. What a wife. What a woman to marry. Hallelujah. Now this morning, I'll continue on the sixth series, The Spirit and the Community. I hope to highlight that Christianity is not a club of feel good or a clubhouse where you come and get entertained, but it is an encounter with a person. That person is Jesus. So for that matter, the Bible series we've been reading about is about the manifesto of a king. His name is God, invading another kingdom, the kingdom of the enemy. And these have been presented in various ways. So I intend to apply how this rule, this kingdom, is applied to the spirit and community. So watch out for Jesus. He's a beautiful revolutionary. He doesn't overturn government, but he conquers hearts. The Jesus that conquers hearts and makes them burn with joy. So if you've not met him, I encourage you to look out for him. If you've never met Jesus, I encourage you to look out for him, because no one encounters him and goes back the same. You don't encounter Jesus and go the same way. If you are lonely, you will find Jesus as a life partner. And if you are broken, you find wholeness with him. He does all kinds of beautiful things to those who believe and follow him. This morning I will be using the story of the woman at the well. You have no idea how that story is turned lives around. I could have used other stories, but there are five women God used in scripture. And one of them is this woman at the well. There was one with the issue of blood, one caught in adultery, one that broke the perfumery on Jesus. One that everyone thought was a harlot, but came and wept at Jesus' feet. Now, I read about this woman and I wonder how come anyone would be married for five times and be divorced. This woman, some writers or some books call her Fontaine, but I'm not going to mention her name now. My own conclusion and narrative tell me that she may have been barren. Barrenness allowed four men to marry her in sequence and dump her. each living with her for about 3 to 5 years, and leaving her. So for about 15 to 20 years, the woman was destitute and going around frustrated. Nobody knew her situation. Nobody cared about what was happening to her, but God did. This morning, I don't know what you are going through. I don't know whether you are suffering. I don't know whether you are alienated or suffering in silence. Don't think God doesn't know what is going on in your life. He does. He does. Hopefully, I will speak to you about Jesus. An encounter with you, with him, will change your life. Hallelujah. So eventually, she gives up. She gives up hope and decides to settle for less. And now goes to another man who doesn't even marry her. They compromise. Okay, if your husband, the five husbands have left you, and you want to stay in my house, yes, we can have some understanding. You see, at this stage, the community is aware of her. Kate kept raising 5 fingers at her each time they saw her. They kept mocking at her. She struggled. Maybe your dream of a good marriage hasn't fulfilled. Maybe you wanted to have babies. See, when you come to this side of the world and people marry, they decide not to have babies. But from that part of the world I come from, when you marry, the next 3 months, they ask you, when is my grandson coming? The next 1 year, are you sure everything is okay? In 18 months' time, your in-laws will want to come and stay in the house and see what food you are eating. We are really worried, you know? And this was our situation for 7.5 years. And then you go to meetings and someone will say, it's only mothers who are here. Nobody knows what some people are going through. But God does. God is going to use your story to tell the neighbors that he's indeed a God for you. So this woman comes to a well and the Savior was sitting there. Look, God is waiting for you to show up. So Jesus comes to him and says, give me water. I want to start from John chapter 4, verse 9. He says, give me water. Then the woman was surprised. The Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for drink? See, life about the Samaritan woman was so scandalous that she was shy of so many things. But this morning, as I talk about this woman, I also talk about our individual lives. You could be abandoned, but not him. Samaritans were seen as the worst kind of people, an outcast, half-breeds, worse than Gentiles. Gentiles are any non-Jews. See, secondly, Jews were not to eat with Samaritans, nor share a common cup with them. They didn't go the same path together. Third, Jewish men were not allowed to speak in public with any Samaritan women, not even in any isolated location. But Jesus broke down all these rules. Jesus will break every rule to get into your life. He will. Now listen to Jesus' reply in John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus replied, if you knew the gift of God, or if you knew what gift God has for you, you would and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I'll give you living water. I'll jump to verse 13 and 14. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon come thirsty, but those who drink of this water I give will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. I need to speak to you that most of the times the things we are pursuing are temporary. Most of the time, the things we are pursuing are temporary, and there's only a place in our heart that only God can fill. See, sometimes we worry ourselves with so much, but we need to understand that there is temporariness in our life, and there's a permanent position only God can fill. The woman was looking for some water to quench her thirst temporarily. But Jesus said, look, there is a vacancy in you, and only God must fulfill. Now, the woman was also so worried about, so she changes the narrative actually, asking, you Jews tell us that we can only worship in Jerusalem. We worship on Mount Gerizim. So the reality is, where do we worship? Who do we worship? You know Jesus' answer to her? You worship what you know not. Sometimes people worship what they don't know. Can I ask you this question? Do you know who you are worshiping? Do you know the God you are worshiping? We worship someone, a who, not a what. Not an item. Sometimes people raise their hands to football. Hey, go. You raise your hands and your heart to a God. So be careful what you are raising your hands and your heart to. Make sure that that thing you are overjoyed is not taking over your heart. Yeah, I watch football, boxing, and stuff like that sometimes. But if it's going to stop me from praying, I'll kill it. I'll not allow certain things to get in the way of the one true God. She also asks, do we worship here or there? If you listen to Jesus' advice, Jesus replies, believe me, woman, the time is coming where we no longer worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know a little about who you worship. Verse 22. While Jews know all about him, salvation comes from him. So Jesus, in a sense, is saying to this woman that God is a spirit. Verse 23. But this time, indeed, here is now, the true worshipers will worship the Father in truth and in spirit. For God is a spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. Verse 24. God is a spirit, therefore, he cannot be confined to a place. He cannot be confined to one corner. But he is a God you carry with you. And he is a God who carries you. So this is what Jesus was saying in John chapter 15. I in you, and you in me. We carry one another. Hallelujah. Now when you do so, you don't have to travel millions and distances away to know this God. The other thing is, this woman had a lot of head knowledge about even a coming Messiah. But they didn't know the one true God. Your head can be full of theology and still not know God. You can know so much about God. But unless you come through the Son, she will not meet God. So Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, we're not reading. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So don't rush to Bible college and stuff and think that by acquiring some knowledge about God, you know God. Verse 26, John 4, 26. Eventually, Jesus reveals himself to this woman. The woman says, we know the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will make things clearer to us. Jesus said, I who speak to you, I am he. You know what the woman did? She flees and leaves her jar behind. I want to read John chapter 4, verse 26. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Verse 28, the woman left her jar beside her beside the well and run into the city, telling everyone, listen, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? This morning, I need to highlight to you again that when you encounter him and he reveals himself to you, your agenda changes. Your mission changes. She came for water, but when she met the true source of life, she left her jar behind. When Isaiah met Jesus, do you know Isaiah met Jesus? Read John chapter 12. I'll give you some more assignment here. John chapter 12 says, when Isaiah saw Jesus, so the being Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6 was Jesus. I think John chapter 12 verse 43 talks about that. He said, who is me? He also said, in fact, here am I, send me. When you meet him, things about you change. Peter, after encountering Jesus, said, Jesus asked him, do you also want to go? He says, no, Lord, where else can we go? You have the word of life. Hallelujah. When Jacob met him, do you know Jacob met Jesus? There again, I'll give you an assignment. John chapter 1, verse 51, 57. Jacob met Jesus. The angel, the Bible calls the angel of the Lord, fought with a man. The name was Jacob. And Bible said he broke his hip. When you meet this man, he changes the way you walk. He changes your lifestyle. Bible said from then on, Jacob walked leaning on a staff. It meant that the walk of the man had changed. The staff is the word of God. When you encounter Jesus, you live by his word, by his standard. Your life changes. When Cleopas and Mary, the couple on the road to Emmaus, met him, he said, were not our hearts burning within us? Because the man went through the Old Testament up to Malachi, enlightening them about the Messiah. Have you met him? Have you seen him? Jesus said something about Abraham. He says, Abraham saw my days and was glad. And the people were like, you are only 30 years. How then do you know Abraham? You want me to give you another assignment? Find out where Abraham met Jesus. It's in the Old Testament. I read it and I'm like, whoa. Abraham saw my days and was glad. When you meet Jesus, your life changes. Saul, who was killing people, met Jesus. He transformed into Paul, and then the rest is history. You will no longer be in a mournful state when you encounter him. He transforms your life into a beautiful, epic story you will rejoice about. Amen. I don't know if you've reached a point in your life where you feel like you are stuck. He is able to reveal himself to you. So you run out and tell others about him. Amen. You see, as we talk about this man Jesus and this woman, there is something I need you to understand, that Jesus did not pick up on the finances of this woman, but he picked up on his marriage. Now, if I study the Bible, a lot of things amaze me about this woman at the well, how Jesus came into his life, her life, and used her to transform her life and the community through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have to listen to me very carefully. Moses, Isaac, and Jacob all met their wives at a well. Think about it. And it was usually around the noontime. Abraham, we don't know where he met Sarah anyway. So let's talk about Moses, Isaac, and Jacob. They met their wives at a well. Rachel was met at a well. You see that when John was talking about John chapter 4, he said the well was Jacob's well. So in essence, Jesus was the new Jacob John introduced. And he's going to talk about a new marriage with another woman. The seventh husband that this woman was going to meet was going to be the wife of Jesus Christ, not literal wife, but the wife of the bridegroom being the church. The church is made up of two kinds of humanity, half Jew and half Gentile. And that was that woman right there. The woman was half Gentile and half Jew, the Samaritans, who the Bible calls the church, the new generation, for a bridegroom. And Jesus was depicting Jacob, who married Rachel and Leah and gave birth to 12 tribes as a new representation of the church of the living God. And so I'm not surprised Jesus chose 12 disciples to represent the 12 tribes. What a story. That our God knows what he's doing in your life. He's going to take the dirty aspect of your life to build his church. So after six failed relationship, she meets the true husband, a man who will love her and never abuse her. Jesus will love you and never abuse you. A woman of ill repute, she became the first evangelist to the Samaritans. That day, the Samaritan community not only met their Messiah, they met their bridegroom. Once again, John paints this picture to tell us Jesus is the new bride for the church. The bride, the body of the church, now marries a Jew, half Jew and half Gentile, called Samaritan. So God can use any situation in your life. As I speak to you, I don't speak to you as a pastor's child. I don't speak to you as someone who came from some holy background. Look, I saw it. I was very naughty. I did smoke this weed at some point in time. In my teenage years, when I was in the secondary school, I think I was around 14, 15, I started those things. I went into occultism. Some of you don't know occultism. Some of you don't know. I wouldn't scare you with that. It's scary, though. We come from some part in Africa. Oof. This boy slept in the cemetery before, believe it or not. Ooh, it's getting scarier, isn't it? But in 1993, I met the Lord Jesus. I'm not reading any book and coming to tell. I'm telling you my experience. I met Jesus. He took what was in my hand. And he transformed my understanding. When I was going into my sixth form, he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. You know why I believe in tongues? I quested for it. I desired it. I prayed about it. And as I was walking through some field, each time I wanted to say something, I was like, God, God. God, I was like, God, 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 God. And then, boom, baka soro bobo, I started speaking in tongues. And God gave me the strength, the power to overcome sin. I went into my village or where I come from, and the things I used to do, I could no longer do them. They were so distasteful to me. Now, people around me says, what's happened to him? Jesus has happened to me. When you encounter him, he happens to you. Have you met him? Have you seen him? I want you to live and love him and say, Lord, happen to me. If I send you to my village, I don't know if any of you are listening to me. You know it, that the Jesus I met transformed my life. So everyone in the city, in the area knew that Something has happened to her, him. And that's what happened to the woman at the well. She ran into the city. She saw the people who were doing all this to her. And says, come and see. Come and see. A man who spoke to me. What's happened to her? Jesus has happened to her. By the time we finish the story, you will realize that the whole Samaria knew about this woman. It's like the whole West Midlands knowing about this woman's situation. And when God turned things around, the whole city there again knew about the situation. Which situation are you in now? God will turn it around so that your family will know that you have met a Messiah. Shall we listen to someone else's story? I don't know what your story is, but let's listen to Raj's story through this video, please.
I was brought up as one of seven children, and as I was growing up, I could feel my parents would treat me differently. For example, my dad would be playing with my brothers, hugging them, and I'd go in for a hug, and he'd just push me aside. My brothers and sisters could see how dad was different towards me, and they also would call me names and hit me and mock me. So I had this sense always as a kid that there was something wrong with me, and I wasn't wanted, and also never felt loved by them. I tried to do what I could to be good enough for them, but nothing I seemed to do was good enough. When I used to come home from school, I was forced to do all the housework. And I remember one evening while I was cleaning and everyone was asleep, my mum's tablets were there, and I started to take all these tablets, wishing I was dead. And the next morning, my dad turned around and said to me, "Shame, it didn't work." And I think the reality hit me that there's nothing I can do to make this man love me. So when I was 18, I finally ran away from home, and I just rebelled against the culture I was brought up. I started drinking, smoking, partying, and I also rejected God. I actually blamed God. But fundamentally, the thing I wanted more than anything was to be loved and find love. I moved to London with a boyfriend, and I found myself getting involved in some really dodgy stuff. But also at this time was a time when I met my first ever Christian. And this lady just showed me unconditional love. She was kind, she listened to me, and made me feel of worth. One evening, I found myself crying. I found all the stuff that I had pushed down through my whole life, all the pain just coming up to the surface. And I heard a voice say, "Raj, stop crying." And I knew it was Jesus. I don't know how, but I knew it was Jesus. And I found myself talking to Jesus for the very first time, asking him why. Why was my life so hard? And I just said to him, "I just don't want to do it anymore. Would you just take my life? I just want to be dead." And what I felt was, rather than me being beamed up to heaven, I felt just love being poured into me. And I felt the Holy Spirit come and fill all that God emptied out, just fill me up. And I felt this peace and joy and just happiness for the first time. So I started to go to church, and I was surrounded by a community of people that loved me, accepted me, and I, for the very first time, I felt like I belonged to a family. And in the process of my time there, they prayed for me. I dealt with a lot of the pain and the rejection. I found my voice and my purpose in life. And my life is completely transformed by Jesus. And I'm just so thankful to God for all that he's done for me.
And how does he come in? Some of you may not have had the opportunity to have some of these encounters. But in your own small way, I pray that you begin to identify Christ and how he's dealing with you. Some people may have grown into the church and never had the opportunity to even invite Jesus into their life. And may still think that, "Oh, because I grew up in the church, I know all about him, and that is enough." No, that is not enough. Christ has to be formed in your heart, expose himself to you, and use you in ways that you know that this is the Lord. The woman said, Raj said in the short clip, that "I knew that this was Jesus." Have you identified him? Have you identified his voice? See, once you start identifying and knowing that this is Jesus, this is God speaking to me, I am sure about this, you start sitting into the Word of God. You know, when you use the Bible, the paper one, you find out that there's not enough fingers to go through the scriptures. Because one would be in Exodus, that would be Deuteronomy, and that you love the Word of God so much that you don't want to come outside it. And you allow the Word to work into your life. So I encourage you to find time and get lost in the Word of God. Go into it. Now, 6 years later, after this woman's incident, a Jewish man named Philip, a disciple of the Messiah, visited Samaria and proclaimed the good news. He announced that the Messiah had died, because this is Samaria, like somewhere Northampton or Northumberland. And then Philip was in Birmingham. They didn't know about the death of the Messiah. But when Philip went there, he told them that the Messiah had died and had risen on the third day. And now, I'm sure this woman was around and heard the story. But Samaria was so bubbling for revival that they had heard about this man who had transformed this woman's life. Now, apparently now this man is dead and resurrected. And so, when they heard about the Messiah, they were ready to receive and accept the message. You see, I believe the Samaritan woman was there. She had already met this person, Jesus Christ, and had drunk of the living water he gives. So, not long after that, Peter and John visited Samaria too. And they probably remember this woman after meeting her. Remember that when the woman met Jesus, nobody was there. So the account of the earlier conversation would have been passed on to Peter and the rest after all this incident. Now, the woman sparked a serious revival. You are capable of sparking a revival in your family. When your family don't recognize you, let the Lord begin working in you, and you'll be amazed. When I was a teenager, my mom wasn't the type who treated me well. Let's be fair here. But when I came from school and she saw me reading my Bible and praying, she said, "What's happened to you?" You know what she started doing? She always came to me for advice. Hey, yes. Hello. If my mom would normally cook and not leave me anything. But each time I went out, I came and my food had been laid on the table. There must be something good about following this Jesus. I'll keep doing it. There's something good about following Jesus. I encourage you to explore with him. Let him change you and change your community. So later Jesus asked them to convene in a place. He says, you cannot do the work all by yourself. I told this woman that the true worshipers must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth through me. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you gather and the Holy Spirit comes on you, you shall receive power. Some, when you have prayed and allowed the Spirit of God to engulf you, though through the difficulties or your new role or whatever you'll be doing will be difficult, but by the power of the Spirit of God, you'll be like nothing. The Spirit empowers. Shall we listen to the second video? That gives you a series of the things they had to do. The coming of the Spirit, the challenges they faced in the church. God wants us to be filled with his power and only to be used to reach out to the community. Reaching through the community by the power of the Spirit. When we finish this session, if you want to be prayed for, the church leadership is here. Through their permission, yes, we'll pray for you to be strengthened in your inner man, to be empowered. If you are listening to me and you haven't met Jesus, I recommend to you Jesus. God is not confined to the four squares of the building or to some place, but wherever you are in your room, you are able to meet him there. And we would ask him to come over you, engulf you, and strengthen you, and make you another man. If you ever heard this message 3-4 years later, Jesus is still there with you in the future. He will strengthen you and change your life, make you a revolution, send you to places. Just as in some ages, somewhere in Africa, he touched my life and now I'm here. The story is still continuing. He's the same God who will continue with you. Shall we listen to the second video, please?
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Authorities commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to God? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Took the disciples and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile.
I'll be finishing in the next minute or so. I just want to read a quick scripture in Acts chapter 8, verse 4-8. Now, the woman's story sparked a lot of revival in Samaria. So, in Acts 8, verse 4 says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Verse 8-5 says, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and to see the miraculous signs he did. And many spirits, evil spirits, were cast out, screaming as they left their victim. And many who had been paralyzed or lamed were healed. So there was great joy in the city. And this sparked because of the woman at the well. May God use your story to turn your life around. When you yield through his spirit, or when you yield to his spirit, he brings transformation to you and those around you. And then that will affect the entire community where you dwell. So Jesus said, you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This afternoon, the Lord bless you and strengthen you. And may he make his face shine upon you and give you great peace. If you want to bow, please bow. I would love to invite anyone who has not had the opportunity to give his or her life to Jesus and ask you to commit your life to Jesus, because it really is key. It really is important that you do that. Otherwise, some of these things we are talking about, you wouldn't understand. If you want to commit your life to Jesus, you may say this after me, that dear Jesus, this afternoon I commit my life to you. Come into my life, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Transform me and give me a new life. Amen. That is all it is to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Father, we thank you for this church. As the music team come to help us sing a few songs to worship and to love you, we pray, O God, that you cement your word on our hearts. Father, help us to break out. Spirit, break out within us that will reach out into our communities. In Jesus' name, amen.